Hey everybody, you hear that? Sounds like tea time.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk, island
tea time.
Talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk,
yeah.
Island talk.
Keeping it real and never fake. Right here on the kitchen island talk. Dishing the tea with Lady V, BJ, Cheryl T. We forever styling. Real talk about real issues. If you don't like it, then go get a tissue. Walking, talking like a diva should do. Wouldn't choose another sisterhood to.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk,
island time.
Talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk.
And we are back at the island. This is your girl Vanita, your favorite Capricorn.
Cheryl T's in the house, and BJ, she is coming. She's working with mom, and as you know, her mother is 100 years old, and she is a caregiver for her, so she'll be on with us shortly.
Yes.
But go ahead, Vanita.
No, I was just going to say I'm excited about today. We're going to have some fun. We have a special guest, a friend of yours, Cheryl. So let's
get to it. I am so excited to introduce our next guest. As we are still in the month of March, of course, celebrating all these awesome, wonderful women, I want to introduce our next guest, who is a native of Houston, Texas. She is the founder and executive director of the Edison Arts Foundation. She holds a bachelor's of fine arts in dance and minor in business education from Sam Houston State University. She has been dancing and teaching for over 30 years. She was recently honored as one of the top 30 influential women in Houston, Texas. That rocks. And I want to say that she is so passionate about her faith, her family, the children, and her community. And with that, I want to introduce to our listeners my friend, Miss Charity Edison Carter. Hi, Charity.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful introduction, and good afternoon to all of your listeners.
We're so excited to have you on.
Yes, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to hang with us at the island.
You're welcome.
She is a busy woman, so we're going to get to it. Okay, Charity.
Sounds good. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. So you know what? My time is your time today.
Excellent.
Awesome. So how I know Charity, her husband and my husband are best friends. We all went to Grambling State University, HBCU in the house. And that's how I met Charity, through her husband, Troy Carter. But Charity, I have a question for you. How did you get started in dance?
Well, so I started dancing at elementary school as a product of HISD. HISD actually offers fine arts in the place of PE, like dance. So dance is a sport. It's a physical education. Mm-hmm. And so despite some of the challenges that HISD is going through today, it is a wonderful school district, and I had the opportunity to learn dance at a very early age. In elementary school, Kate Bell Elementary School, I started dance, and I had a beautiful brown teacher by the name of Miss Body. If you can believe that, her name was Miss Body, and she was
Miss
beautiful.
Body.
Miss Body,
yes, so Miss Body was beautiful, brown, and voluptuous. And she taught the introduction of dance as a physical education. But I really loved dance. And so I continued to Welch Middle School. And Welch was a fine arts school. It's a magnet school. And you can transfer in your district from wherever you lived to a magnet school. And Welch was a magnet school. And so it offered dance. And my teacher, Miss Michelle Goswick, taught us about the art of dance. So it was an introduction from PE to an actual art. And we learned about different styles and genres of dance, from tap and ballet and jazz and modern, and also various artists from, tap musicians or tap dancers and ballet dancers all over America. And so that's what we learned about the art of dance. But then in high school, high school is a little bit more social. And so I actually joined the dance team, and really enjoyed it and decided that I really wanted to be a dancer and make that my career. But I became an early mom my senior year. And so I ended up kind of changing my course from wanting to study dance in New York to wanting to stay closer to home to have that family support. But I was dancing since an early age of elementary and throughout college.
That makes sense. I danced in high school too, and also in college. That's when I really got into modern and ballet. I definitely didn't get to do that at elementary. So that's great that Houston Independent School District offered that. I didn't have that where I was going to school, but that's great that they offered that in the arts.
Well, Charity, yes. I have a question. What is the greatest thing that you've learned being a dancer?
Oh, wow.
What lessons have you learned?
I would say the lessons I've learned are to give your best, be your best. You know, as dancers, we typically are given compliments, you know, about, oh, you look like a dancer. You know, what does that mean? It's a compliment, no doubt. You know, most of the time dancers are graceful or they have a nice physique or their posture. But I would say that dance gives me power. And so the lessons that I've learned are to, one, not sell yourself short, because who you are is going to be an asset to what you provide and what you give. So as a dancer, the power that the passion that I've had has kind of given me purpose. And some of the lessons that I've learned throughout are to use this gift for good, use this passion for good. And don't sell myself short.
Awesome. I like the dancing piece of it. It used to help me express myself, you know, to just get it all out, you know, especially when you got the right music and the right composition. You can really just let loose your whole being. So that's what I liked about dancing also, is the being able to express yourself.
Yeah, as dancers, we use our bodies to evoke emotions, to express an idea, to, share, historical information. We use our bodies for so much. And so, you know, that's kind of why I said we use this gift and use our bodies for good, because we tell stories and we can tell stories for good that can influence others. That's why I say it's powerful, because what we do is we influence others.
And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. It's Vanita. Listen, we would love to hear from you with feedback. Let us know if we have been a help in making your day a little bit brighter. We want to make a difference one episode at a time. So check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And as a bonus, we are now on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to our channel. We can personally be reached at kitchenislandtea@gmail.com and would love to hear from you with topic and guest suggestions. So in the meantime, continue listening to this episode and take care of yourself. Ciao. When it comes to your body and being a dancer, what words of wisdom would you give a young girl or boy who is interested in dancing long-term as a career? I know it takes discipline. I mean, when I'm dancing around the house, I don't need discipline because I'm not getting paid. I'm just feeling free. But what advice would you give someone who wants to do it for, you know, that's their passion and they want to get paid and they want to share their art?
Thank you. The advice that I would give is to soak it all up. Don't sell yourself short. I think I said this a little bit earlier, and that simply just means that there's so much to learn. Learn it all, because it's all going to influence you. It's all going to be an asset to what you give back. It's like sowing into yourself, investing in yourself. So invest in yourself. You want to get a good return on your investment, but the more you invest in yourself, the greater your return is. And so I would tell them, soak it all in. There may be a style that you don't like. Take it anyway, especially when it comes to our culture and ballet. We think that ballet is, you know, American, it's white, it's not, but there's different forms. There's Hortman, there's contemporary. The Ailey School, Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, you know, they specialize in Hortman, and more modern contemporary ballet. And then you have Dance Theater of Harlem, that's a classical African-American ballet company. But learn ballet as a foundation, because you want people to take you serious. And then learn the other styles so that no doors can close for you. You are opening all those doors. If someone needs a contemporary dancer, but then you know how to do tap, you just made yourself more valuable. And then again, I mentioned this on the last question or my response about using your body for good. I would tell them that this is an instrument. It's a tool, and it has so much power. And doors are going to be open because you have a passion and a purpose. But you want to make sure that that is for good, because, you know, power can be used again for good or for bad. But you want to use this body as an instrument for good. And so soak up all that you can, learn all you can, invest in yourself, and use your body for good. Because doors are going to open, I promise you, especially with the passion you have. That passion is going to fuel your purpose. And that is going to make you even more powerful than you ever thought you would be.
Awesome. I know as a dancer at Grambling State University, I was dropping it like it was hot at halftime. Hey, I don't know what purpose or passion that was all about, but we were making it happen. But seriously, I was taught by
self-love. It was feeling your self-love and your self-confidence. And that culture is a part of you. And that's a style that helped define you, that helped shape you, that helped motivate you, that help you be who you are.
And it definitely helped, you know, in confidence, because now, you know, I walk into places with my neck straight, my shoulders down, like I'm about to do a pirouette. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Shoulders back, neck straight.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, we had a great teacher. She was formerly a First Company Alvin Ailey dancer, Diane Maroney. I'm just giving her some shout outs there, but she taught the Grambling State University's halftime dancers for many, many years, but she's recently retired. But yeah, I totally loved it. But you're absolutely right. You're doing it for the passion, and you're doing it for good.
Exactly.
Everybody would wait for halftime when it came to HBCUs. Y'all know that.
Of course. So Cheryl, we're going to take another quick break so that we can let our other diva in, if that's okay.
Awesome. Hello, and we are back at the island once again with beautiful Charity Carter. And we're here, of course, celebrating women in the month of March. And she is one of the top 30 women that are influential in Houston, Texas. And so we want to continue to find out some of her words of wisdom and how to help us move forward as women and young women. So in reading your bio, Charity, during our conversations, I noticed that you were very passionately expressed your parents as your inspiration for starting the Edison Arts Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about your awesome parents who I have met? And also, can you share with our listeners about the foundation that you and your most recent project, which I'm so excited about, the Edison Culture Arts Center?
Thank you. Yes, you know, that's three questions.
Take your time, Charity. Take your time.
Let's just talk about your parents and why they were your inspiration.
Absolutely, yes. So the Edison Arts Foundation is named in honor of my parents, Robert and Bertha Edison. And I'm going to tell you that my legal name is Roberta. It's a country name, and Robert and Bertha's daughter. So I hardly ever use Roberta, but it is. It's beautiful. And it's Robert and Bertha's daughter, basically, at the end of the day. But let me tell you a little bit about Robert and Bertha. My dad, Robert Edison, is a businessman. He's a strong family man. He's an entrepreneur. He started Broker's Grass over 40 years ago and is still in business today. He sacrificed a lot, especially for his family. He wanted the best for his family. And Bertha, my mom, she is smart and beautiful and intelligent. You know, my dad would say all the time, Bertha's the smart one. She's the first to graduate and her siblings from University of Houston. In fact, she started college and became an early mom, you know, similar to me. And she had to finish later at U of H. But I remember when she finished, I remember being young and celebrating, you know, her U of H graduation. And so my dad has always worked hard and believed in his family. And like I said, sacrifice. He tells this story that my grandmother, and so I come from a line of entrepreneurialism. My grandmother on my dad's side and my mom's side, they worked hard. And my mom's mom, she actually owned the local gas station and cafe and juke joint. I call her Big Mama. My dad tells this story where he was buying gas or not buying gas. He stole gas from my grandmother and she knew he stole gas, but she never said anything. And but he knew, she knew, but she never pressed charges and she never said anything. But I guess the way he had to pay her back is he married my mom and they've been married for over 50 years. So
awesome.
I've heard it all now.
He paid for that gas. And my mom, you know, she's a product, you know, civil rights. She was the first to integrate the area high school, Van Vliet High School. And she tells this story where they went to eat at the lunch counter and they didn't serve Negroes. And my mom said, well, we don't eat them either. So she tells this story. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I came from hardworking family members, from my dad's mom and my mom's mom and my dad and my mom, and they instill family values. And so this foundation is founded and grounded on the core values of family and community and arts. You know, my dad, he worked a lot, and believe it or not, he never went to a dance recital of mine. He was always working. And my mom, she took care of us while my dad was always working. I mean, she retired from General Motors, and she had worked for the same company for many years and retired from that same company. So she instilled, you know, discipline and hard work and longevity, you know, mm-hmm. longevity in a career, sowing that seed and getting a return.
And loyalty. So,
yes. And so my parents, this foundation is just built on their sacrifice. And there were no dance studios in my area, in my community. I've never seen, you know, that growing up. But my dad told me something profound. So profound. When I graduated from high school and started teaching dance, he said, he knew that I wanted to open a dance studio. And he said, don't you want to go with little girls, brown girls look like you? And I never really fit. I mean, I didn't know he paid attention, quite honestly. I mean, mm-hmm. he supported our dreams, but I didn't think he was paying attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wanted to make money. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to teach dance.
I like the fact that, you know, if you ever go and see her dancers, they're all different shapes, all different colors. It girls and guys. So I just really enjoyed seeing what she's done with all of those wonderful young people. They come in after school, they do their dance, they even get help with their homework. So I just really enjoy what they've done with that as an after-school program. But I also want you to get into the Edison Cultural Arts Center that's being open in your community. Can you give us like a highlight of what that center is and what will it entail? And it's huge. So can you tell our listeners about the center?
Absolutely, yes. So the Edison Cultural Arts Center has been in the making for a while. Being a staple in Missouri City and Fort Bend, Houston, we were looking to expand and relocate. And one of our parents brought a 12 and a half acre property to our attention. They knew that we were looking. And so this property was brought to our attention, 12 and a half acres. And we already had a master plan about what our community needed and what dancers and artists needed and how we can sustain an arts organization. Sustaining an arts organization isn't easy because many parents, you know, they choose to maybe pull their students or their kids out of the arts, you know, when the grades are bad or when, you know, finances are bad. They may not always prioritize it, especially as an extracurricular activity. But this property was brought to our attention, this 12 and a half acres. And so I want to tell you about two phases of this project. So the first phase was affordable housing. After about five different developer interviews, we selected one, and five and a half acres out of the 12 and a half were dedicated to affordable housing. And so in 2019, we started construction on the Edison Lofts, 126 unit affordable housing complex. That is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You can look it up, Edison Lofts. And so, and we finished it in 2021. Before we finished, it was a long waiting list, and it's still a waiting list. It's 100% occupied, and we have people asking us every day. And so that was the first phase. The second phase is where we are in construction now, which is the Edison Cultural Arts Center that you mentioned. It includes a 450 seat theater that we are actually naming the Larry V. Green Theater. Larry Green was the council member at the time and he passed, but he was an arts champion. And one of our parents who worked for Larry Green brought this property. And so it would just be fitting that we honor him and name the theater, the Larry V. Green Theater, after him. So 450 seat theater, dance studio space that triples the size that we have today, a black box theater, a dance company room, our and dance junior company room. And also in this remaining 7 acres that is currently under construction, we have affordable health care. We have a partner by the name of Access Health that'll be occupying about 5,000 square feet. We have our after school area that's about 7,000 square feet. That after school area is going to be the home for all of our after school arts programming that you mentioned, where we pick up students within a 10-mile radius. We bring them to our facility, provide a healthy snack, homework assistance, and then they have different arts choices or different arts tracks, from performing arts to visual arts, theatrical arts, design, technology, all the backhand crew things that they can do. And so this just a robust center that also includes public safety. We have a space dedicated to public safety that our commissioner, Precinct 2, is going to dedicate for a safety spot for HPD, the constable's office, to step in and stop in on their routines. We also have a dedicated space to what we call a black market, and we're playing around with names with that black market. But basically, yes, it is a house for black merchandise and black products. We also have a couple of coffee shops that are interested in coming there, and bookstores. And so we will be selecting a coffee vendor and a bookstore to come in this collective of Black products and Black merchandise. We have some restaurants coming. We're excited about the few restaurants that are coming.
And
we also have, yes. I mean, restaurants from a variety of culinary cuisines, from seafood to soul food to steak and more. And then we also have a festival park. I'm excited about this festival park because our recent demolition ceremony showed the actual demolishing of one of the spaces for a dedicated festival park. It's an outdoor green space and performance space. And then last, we have HBDI that is going to help us with upscaling our businesses with a business incubator. So it is a robust center for this community. It is a beacon. It's a hub for community, for community pride and civic pride and civic engagement. But the arts is the catalyst for this revitalization.
Wow. Awesome. We can't wait.
That's awesome.
I'm so excited about what you guys are doing. And I've been firsthand and seen it. So I cannot wait till it is completed. That's going to be awesome. We're going to be there to celebrate with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I hope all you ladies come. Maybe we can do a podcast there and celebrate. That would be wonderful. Yes.
Yes. On location. We are ready.
On location.
We would love to come and film live when you have your grand opening. So please keep us in mind and keep us up to speed on what's going on. But as a senior, and as I mentioned earlier, that I still love to dance and I dance around the house. So will there be any programs or anything at the Center for Seniors?
Yes, absolutely. So this is, you know, our core values, as I said, are family, community arts. You know, seniors make up family, seniors make up the community, children, youth, young adults, adults, and of course, our seniors. And so senior programs include line dance classes and dance classes, being a part of our theaters. We will have theatrical productions and they'll have auditions and they're going to need seniors as well. We have pottery class and quilting and just so much more, like I said, robust. So we want to welcome our seniors. And not only that, not just as patrons, but also as staff. We need the wisdom of our seniors. And so we are looking for ushers. We're looking for, you know, people to help us in concession. We're looking for volunteers. We want our families and our community to know that we welcome all of us because it takes a village and seniors are a part of our village.
So Charity, I would like to know, can I come and work on weekends and teach the line?
You most certainly can. You know, most plays are Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So I'm going to make sure I let you know what's coming up and we would love for you to come and support, volunteer, help, and all of that good stuff.
Sounds good.
That would be perfect. Well, Charity, I am so excited just to meet you and hear all the accomplishments you've made. I want to tell you that our church is building a community center. And so I'm listening. We're listening because I feel like you're going to be a model, not only for us, but for other areas in the country. And so what you're doing, you've got to share it over and over because I know other communities will want to do something similar, maybe not as big, but I'm just excited. But I'd like to talk about your career. I know you've had a good, strong career, but were your aspirations always to just bring art, education, and cultural activities to the community? Or at one time when you first started out, did you say, oh, I'm going to Broadway? So what were your aspirations starting out and how did you think your journey would go?
Thank you for asking me that. In high school, I actually wanted to be a professional dancer and I wanted to go to New York and study at Columbia University. But as I mentioned earlier, I became an early mom my senior year and that changed course. And honestly, education has always been a part of who I was, who I am, what I do. I started teaching very early at schools. I used to teach at this place called Body and Soul Fitness. And so education was always like in my DNA. And so I reverted back to that. Instead of going to New York, I stayed home and went to Sam Houston State University. I took my daughter with me and was a single mom in college, but education was my new direction because it was something that I was still passionate about. So instead of maybe performing, because I did dance in a company for a little while, Second Generation was the name of the dance company. I knew education was my calling because it gave me a high to see the end result of students learning. It gave me a high. And not only that, it gave me a career and it gave me a paycheck because out of college, I could teach at the high school and teach the drill team and afford being a young mom and paying for, you know, my child's education and daycare. So I hope I answered your question. Yes and no.
Yes, you did. I think the most awesome thing is that sometimes life's twists take you in just the direction that you're supposed to go in. And so I can see that in your, in how you described your journey. And so it's awesome. I think you answered it. Yes. Thank you.
Well, that's great. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be right back with Miss Charity.
And we're back at Kitchen Island Tea with our special phenomenal guest, Charity Edison Carter. Charity, we are just overjoyed to have you. And so I know I keep saying it, but we are. So I have one more question for you. I know that you touched on this earlier, that often for women and minorities, it's very difficult to get funding for businesses of any kind. So what tips would you give entrepreneurs or those interested in bringing the arts to their communities on how they can obtain funding or at least get started?
I would give the advice, one, they have to be passionate about what they are wanting. Nobody is going to believe them if they're not believable. Okay, that's the first thing. And they have to be invested. What's their skin in the game? What do they bring to the table? One of the things I remember the previous administration, because we just had mayoral elections, the previous administration said, well, what's your skin in the game? Okay, what do you bring to the table? So when you're working to acquire funds, it's not necessarily always about what are you asking, but what are you giving? What do you bring to the table? And tell your story. Your story has to be able to sell someone, pitch it to others. For us, I would say that when you're passionate about something, you can easily tell and they're going to believe you and want to kind of be invested in that. They're going to want to give to that. That purpose has to be beyond you. It has to be a benefit to the community. It has to be a benefit to others. If you want someone to give, they're going to ask, well, why? You know, why would they give? What are you doing? What are you doing for others that you would want me to give? You know, what's so inspirational about your organization over anyone else's? You know, what are you doing different? What are you doing transformative? So you've got to tell your story and share that story. Don't be afraid of no's. We have gotten so many no's. But those yeses are the ones that count. I'll tell you that George Foundation was one of the first philanthropic organizations or foundations that gave to us. And historically, they don't give to organizations that look like me and the amount that they've given. And so we received a $2 million gift from George Foundation, and people were so surprised, but I wasn't surprised because we asked and we built relationships with them. So I would definitely tell them to build relationships. If you're doing work in the community, your community should know you. If your community doesn't know you, you're not doing work in the community. I'm sorry.
Wow. You said something there. You said something there.
Yes, you did. You gave some marvelous tips because a lot of people want to get support for their projects and they just are saying, I need the money. But you brought out an important point. It's not just that you need the money or the support. you have something to give, and you know that it's going to enrich the lives of all the young people that you all are touching. That's what I got from what you said. And so that's what entrepreneurs have got to focus on. Like you said, what are you bringing to the table? What are you going to give others? So if somebody gives their money, what's the good that it's going to do? And that's instead of you saying, oh, I need the money because I'm going to do good, you've given them the end result. And so I think that's fantastic. Thank you. That was a perfect answer.
And you already had a track record of being working in your community, because your community already knew you when you started asking for these funds. A lot of times people will ask for the funds before they've even shown that they want done any work in the community. So I applaud you for that. That was very profound. If you're doing work in a community, your community should know you.
Know you. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And can I share that, you know, arts is, it's not easily funded. It really is not. But art is an economic driver. The arts is an economic driver. And so we, as a Black African-American culture, have to realize the value of the arts for us, okay? Most of your theaters are always downtown. If you know that, they're in an area where the economy is booming. And that's for a reason, because people who work downtown and downtown is centered around economics, and so is the arts. We need that corporate support. We need those organizations to support us. We need funding. We need money and people with money. So they put arts and theaters downtown typically, or around where there's a economic boom where you can support the arts, right? Yes. And so we have to consider that as well. But with arts, I'll tell you that we sowed the seed and became a staple in our community, and we changed the thought about the arts in our community. It's always been there in other communities, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's not always there in our community. That's why I said there wasn't a dance studio in my area, you know? And that's why my dad said, don't you want to go where other little girls look like you? Because he understood what it did for me, it needs to do for others. And that's give that power. So I'm saying that to say, you may not always have something that you feel, you know, is something to offer, but it is. Look at the value of it and sell that value, because the arts change the community. And now we have, as she mentioned, so many other organizations and so many businesses that realize, oh, you can make some money in arts. Let me rethink this. And so I just wanted to, you know, share that.
So, you know, I know you mentioned a lot about the Edison Cultural Arts Center and its progress. Can you give us some timelines on when that's going to be available? And then also I want you to share with our listeners how they can get in contact with you in order to keep up with the progress of the Edison Cultural Arts Center, and how they can donate to the Awesome Community Initiative.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So we are in construction, and we also put updates of our construction on our social media, our Facebook. And so our Facebook is EAF Arts, or they can type in Edison Arts Foundation. Again, our Facebook is EAF Arts, or they can type in Edison Arts Foundation. Our Instagram is Edison Arts. And our website is edisonartsfoundation.org, edisonartsfoundation.org. We are currently under construction, and we are slated to turn over our after school area and all of our retail the end of this summer, early September. So we're excited about moving from our current location where we've been for 17 years. Yes. I kind of got emotional yesterday at a parents' meeting. Because I said this was going to be our last time here. So come September, at the beginning of this new school year, then we will be moving. And the Performing Arts Center, the 450-seat theater, is slated to be finished by the end of this year, December 2024 or January 2025. So we've already began the programming and planning for us opening in 2025. So We hope that Kitchen Island Tea will be able to come at the end of the year and celebrate with us this milestone and this victorious opportunity and celebration.
Wow, that's awesome, Charity. You know, Charity, I'm trying to sit here and figure out how Cheryl got such a smart and friend. You are just so smart and brilliant.
Yes,
you are. Birds of a feather flock together.
Oh, look at you. Okay, enough about Cheryl. Okay, so Charity, I always ask our guests this. When you were a young girl, what did you want to be when you grew up? Like, did you sit around and play with Barbies? Because I did not.
Yes, I love Barbies. I love Barbies today. Like, you know, nothing would make me happier than to sit down and play Barbies and comb their hair and change their clothes. So I was, you know, just a girly girl. I had a lot of friends, but I really wasn't like the hanging out. And my husband teases me. He teased me just this week and my son that, Mom, I really haven't met a lot of your friends. I was like, because I was the early mom. I was focused, son. but yeah, I love Barbies. And I am actually doing what I want to do. I am happy. Mm-hmm. I wake up happy. I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. And I encourage anyone to live their passion, because when you live your passion, your purpose is revealed. Now, your purpose is not about you. It's mm-hmm. your purpose, but it's not about you. It involves others, blessing others. How can you sell to others, sell your product, your service, be a benefit to others? And God gets the glory. It's for Amen. Our good, for Amen. His glory.
Amen. Wow, Charity, you just preached.
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Now I know why you hang out with Cheryl. Preachers do flock together.
Yes.
Thank you.
I like what you said. When you get into your passion, your purpose is revealed.
Yes.
That is a very powerful message for all of our listeners, because that's what God wants us to do, is walk in the purpose and the reason why he designed us. Mm-hmm. And when you get into your passion, your purpose is revealed. I love that.
Yeah. And you become powerful.
Yes.
You become powerful. Yes.
All the P's, passion, purpose, and power. Hey.
There you go. I got a t-shirt. I'm going to send you all a t-shirt. Yeah, I'm going to send y'all a t-shirt with our three P's. Yes. For our good and his glory.
Awesome. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And you are about to turn the big 5-0. She's done all of this in her young life. You ready for the big 5-0?
When's your birthday? When's your birthday?
It is October 30th, the day before Halloween.
Okay.
Trick or treat.
Yes.
So we'll help you celebrate.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. I invited Cheryl and James, and I'm going to invite you guys too to my 50th celebration cruise. We're going to just go out of Galveston so you guys can join us. I'm going to send you the invite.
Okay, sounds good. How many days is it?
It's 4 days. Simple. 4 days. Easy. Not too long. Thursday through Monday.
Oh, that's a
nice weekend.
Cheryl, you going to preach for my husband while he go on the cruise?
No, I'm going on a cruise. He's gonna have to preach.
I know.
He can bring the word to the cruise. Okay, we can have Sunday service. How about that?
I like that. Well, Charity, we have enjoyed our time here with you. This has been awesome. I really, really appreciate you taking time out to share mm-hmm. your passion with us, because that's what it's all about.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think Cheryl asked me the question about giving. We are a 501c3 organization, so I wouldn't be quite correct if I didn't tell your listeners how to support our project, if that's
okay with
you. We would welcome your donation. We welcome your support. In this project, we have a lot of legacy opportunities. If you would like to leave a legacy from your family name or your corporation or your business. If you are a business owner or you work for a corporation and you have heard this podcast and you're inspired and you want to be a part of a Black leg organization that you know needs some support, we welcome your support. You can visit our website at edisonartsfoundation.org. I'm going to tell you, we have raised over $23.5 million, but we are still a little short. We have a few more million to go, and every penny, every nickel, every dime, every dollar counts, and we would love your support. We have some naming opportunities. You'll find that on our website. We have some seats that you can purchase in your name or your family's name, and we also have some pavers for our park. So there's no donation too small or too big, and we welcome your support.
And also your fundraiser gala. Can you give us those dates?
Yes. Our tutus and tuxes, our annual fundraising gala is Saturday, April 27th at the Landmark Community Center. We'll be transforming this community center into a beautiful facility, and we will be honoring the artist Major. Major is a Houstonian and a product of the arts. If you don't know who Major, he sings, "This is what I love you."
I know who he is.
We are also honoring Miss Ellie Bro. She is Miss Texas. And if you saw the Miss America pageant, she was first runner up. Unfortunately or fortunately, she lost to someone who was actually in the service. So we, of course, had to honor our service women and men. But Miss Ellie Bro would have won. So we are honoring her and letting her know that we're so proud of her. And then we're also honoring a young choreographer and director, Miss Carmen Jones, who's doing a wonderful job as the director for the Black Angels Collective, and the international artist Toby Nwigwe. So if you want to come and celebrate with us all night long.
Hey, what time does that start?
It starts at 6 o'clock.
And so where do folks get tickets?
On our site as well.
Okay. Where do folks get tickets? That's what I was going to ask. Information on your site. It's on your site.
Yes, the information is on our website as well, and it's on Eventbrite. Tickets or tables can be purchased through Eventbrite.
Okay. That is awesome. I'm taking notes. I'm sorry. I'm just making sure
I've everything. Yes, we all are.
Thank you.
I'll have all those details for you ladies because I have the flyer.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well, you know what? I think our time has been well spent. Again, we are elated, and we also feel grateful that you took time out to share with us and with our listeners today. Cheryl, you have an awesome friend.
I know, right?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. She's so smart.
I was grafted into her as a friend since our husbands are best friends.
I know.
I am so grateful that happened.
Finish it, Benita. She's smart. She's important.
Yes. Exactly. So, do you have anything else, Cheryl, before we clock out of here?
I just want to thank Charity, like you said, for taking the time out, because I know she has a very busy schedule with all the things that she's juggling. And I just want to say, you know, I've been around her several different times when she's putting on these different events, and her calmness, it's just amazing how calm she can remain even in the midst of crisis. So I know that she has been blessed to be this person in this season and time to do what she's doing, because she is definitely anointed to do what she's doing and juggle so many balls and then finally be with Troy Carter. She got grace to handle that man. So praise the Lord. I love Troy. He knows this will be a joke to us. It's really good that you're being able to do all that you do and still being able to have the time to reach out to us and have this conversation so that the rest of the world can hear the things that you're doing there in Houston, Texas.
Thank you so much. It's been a blessing, ladies. I pray for you that this podcast continues to reach and touch lives and change lives. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I just want to say thank you to Charity, because I am in awe of what you're doing for the community. Mm-hmm. And all my life, I've worked in the community, but not to your level. but it's inspiring. It makes me even want to keep going. At first, I was thinking I'm too old, but seeing you and hearing you, I know that I'm inspired to do even more. And so I know our listeners are inspired, but I am in awe of the great things you're doing and bringing to the community. And they'll tell you, I'm an arts person. So at church, when we have field trips for the kids, I'm never taking them to the amusement park. We're always going to the theater, to the art museum, to an art gallery. And so I just thank you for your focus on art and culture.
Thank you. And guess what I heard? I heard field trip.
Hey, to Houston.
Yes. And we're only, what, 2.5, 3 hours away?
Yeah.
So three. We leave early, then we can have a great experience. And maybe, you know, if we have to stay, we'll get some hotels booked. But I hear field trip. That's what I hear.
I do too.
Beverly will make it happen. Beverly will make it happen.
Yes. Thank you.
So with that being said, we're going to go. But again, if you let us know when you have those grand openings and stuff, Kitchen Island Tea will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much. I look forward to it. You all have a wonderful and blessed day and enjoy this beautiful weather.
You too. Thank you so much. Adios.
Ciao, Bella.
Keep listening, everybody.
Bye. Thank you for listening.